Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
If I were a DJ, I'd mix Powerman 5000 with everything.
Me too.
The show's gonna happen. We might not have things to sell because a bunch of people fucked up and didn't communicate.
Keep dropping their balls.
Keep dropping their balls.
On the floor.
Yep, dropping balls in mouths.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is another episode of Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we'll talk to Metalworks artist Scotty Soltronic. Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp Utah drops by to tell us about healthy places to eat in the new year, and Party Sober Clothing is on board. Scotty Soltronic is a Metalworks artist and activist in the Salt Lake City area. You may have seen his work around and about. His multidimensional works often consist of recycled metals and are crafted using his own combination of sculpture design and technology. Many of his pieces are also done in environmentally sound ways, and in some cases, they serve a specific function to benefit the community in which they're placed. Slug senior staff writer Mariah Mellis chatted with Scotty about his artwork.
Have you always been an artist, or, you know, were you an artist in school?
Yeah, I think I've always been an artist. Yeah, as a little kid, I was always making things. It's funny, I primarily work with metal and primarily with sound objects. I work a lot with recycled material. And as a kid growing up, my dad, back in the 70s, got into putting aluminum siding on houses, which was a big fad back then. Anyway, he was into it, and me and my brother would have to go with him. And my job was to pick up the scraps.
Oh, nice.
So I'd follow him around with a box and pick up all the little pieces of aluminum. At a really young age, just started making things out of aluminum. So race cars and airplanes and rocket ships. And you know, I've always liked to create things. And I went to school at Utah State on an art scholarship. And I studied art. At one point in my life, spent a decade working in the computer industry. And about 7 or 8 years ago, I left and became a full-time artist.
Oh, that's
and
great.
So I've been working out of my studio. And like I said, I primarily work with sound objects.
Now, back to when you were, you know, just a little kid collecting scraps of aluminum siding, what did your parents think? Did they, particularly, are they artists? Or were they, I mean, your dad did aluminum siding, but he could have been an artist on the side, so.
No way. No, my parents were both super blue-collar workers, very simple, action-oriented people. And when I left my job, you know, making six figures to become an artist, they were both
shocked and appalled.
Yeah, they were upset. What are you doing, you stupid child?
But you can feed yourself, and that's what's important, and you're happy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There
so
you
it's funny, my dad, we would go to the scrap yard to take our scrap aluminum to turn it in for money, and I would always come home with these pockets full of junk metal that I had found at the scrap yard. So many cool buckets and bins and dumpsters full of cool shapes. Yeah, to answer your question, I feel like this aspect of my psyche has always been there and has been calling me. And so it's fun now to spend the time on it and just allow it to roll and go.
Nice, and hopefully get some recognition for it, too. I know that you've had a few shows, and I was able to see your stuff at High Life back in 2011. So that was really cool to get to see some of your work. Where have you been showing since you kind of dedicated the time to be an artist full-time?
Right now I'm currently showing in Park City at Shabu, which is a restaurant. And I've got 15 pieces on display there right now. Many of you probably know me as Scotty Soltronic Slayer, captain of the Solar Saucer, which is a solar-powered art installation. And so I travel across the country going to art festivals and music festivals with the Flying Saucer. That's really where I've been showing my art the last 5 or 6 years. It's been on the road and has been in more of a kind of a large-scale mobile environment.
motivation behind the pieces has probably evolved or expanded with all these meeting of people and being on the road.
Yeah, I guess I sort of look at it like two very different mediums. The work that I do, I guess my finer art, you know, my commissioned pieces and the pieces that I put in the gallery. That's something, you know, that I spend time in my shop working on these things. The stuff we do on the road, it's very impromptu. You know, we're finding stuff along the way. We're picking up truckloads. We get to the spot where we're going, and then we do this large installation with things that we found either on the way or on site. So we bring a framework with us. The last installation that we've been working on is called the Soloon. Like S-O-L-O-U-M, like the sun and the moon, and it's a solar-powered whiskey bar. We've been traveling around the country with this thing and setting it up at arts festivals, and then we bring, you know, maybe 10 or 15 pieces of art with us, and then we build a bunch of art along the way. When I say we, there's a group of us that have sort of grown over the years, Prescott McCarthy, Tanner Rosenthal, Kelly Lavelle. Like I said, there's probably 30 on this core team that call themselves the Solar Software Cosmonauts. You look on Facebook, that's the Facebook group of this sort of arts collective that's grown up around this concept of sustainable art, sustainable music. You know, we'll go into an arts festival, and we provide all of the sound, art, light, and everything off of our truck and flying saucer, which is all solar-powered. So it's sort of an ideology that's grown up around, you know, this concept. We build lots of cool little art pieces that describe different ways that you can do things, ways to heat water using the sun, ways to make electricity that people aren't really using. And we're trying to, like, get this out to the world and show people in an artistic way.
Oh, yeah, that's brilliant.
So, similar to the solar saucer.
Sure. Well, I love that it's very green and sustainable, not only just, you know, it's sustaining you as artists, and then also that it sustains itself at arts festivals and provides this kind of interactive and educational experience. That's great. You've got a lot of different realms covered there, so that's fabulous. Is there something that you prefer? I mean, it sounds like you've got your hands kind of moving all over the place in lots of cookie jars, so to speak, or does it feel all organic, or is there something like you'd rather be in the studio or you'd rather be out in the arts festival?
Super organic. I like all of it. I think my favorite is talking to the kids. That's what I really like. Schools will hire me to bring the solar saucer, and so I'll bring it in, you know, like third to eighth graders. Just love it. They get it right away.
Oh, yeah.
Come out and, you know, we play music and we talk about art and we talk about my process of making art out of garbage. You know, every once in a while there's one kid that lights up and is like, I could do that. For me, that's kind of what it's about, is that one kid that is like, I could do that. And trying to motivate that kid. Yeah, you know, you can do that. You should do it. Do it. So do it. Make something like this, because I think the kids are our future. I think they're going to be the ones that are going to come up with something really mind-blowing and earth-shattering. I guess that's sort of my favorite part. I also enjoy watching people have fun. So we bought, a group of us, 40 acres of land outside of Green River, and we've been hosting music/art festivals down there. We do 3 a year. I guess it's sort of a spin-off of Burning Man, but the difference is instead of burning things, we're building things.
Nice, constructive rather than destructive.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Burning Man. Had many, many great years there. Lots of mind-opening experiences. But I guess we've sort of evolved to a new stage, which is we don't really want to drive all the way across the desert to go blow up things and burn things. And a lot of it is kind of silly and fun in nature, which I really, really like. I like the concept of grown-ups going and playing and having fun. This ranch that we bought, it's called the Jank Star. Jank being a term that we've sort of coined in the art world, which is sort of, it's like taking something that's broken and reusing it and turning it into something else. For years, I had a warehouse in Salt Lake, and people would come and drop off a box of their favorite things that they were planning to make out of, you know, they were going to make something or they were going to turn it into art. They just couldn't throw it away. You know, some cool pieces of glass, a broken chandelier, cool fishbowl that lights up, but the fishbowl broke. You don't know what to do with it. And
all the projects you never finished or thought to think of.
Yeah, I've ended up with everyone's boxes of this. It's sort of, it's turned into, that's primarily the material I use in my art. So a lot of times you might come by and say, hey, that's my, you know, fill in the blank.
Sure.
You know, in Scotty's piece that's hanging here. And so the ranch, we called it the Jank Star, and it's full of like truckloads and truckloads and truckloads.
I was going to really ask, cool, so the art that you're able to create during this festival gets to stay there, right?
Yeah.
You don't tear it apart afterward.
Yeah, and we use it again, and it breaks, and it falls apart, and we rebuild it. And the really fun part about it is we tear it all down at the end of the festival, and it kind of goes in boxes and bins and slides away. And we kind of put it away for the winter. And then in the spring, 20 or 30 or however many people want to come down and help us do the install, they come and they pull these boxes out and just start going for it. You know, it's like, here's the boxes. This thing's going to be a Western-style saloon. This thing over here is going to be shooting for a dragon. Or this thing's going to be a dinosaur. Go for it.
Nice. And the group gets to come up with those plans.
Yeah. Every time it's different. And I'm like, okay, I've never seen that like that before. That's cool.
To find out more about Jank Star, the ranch, and events there, check them out at jankstar.com. For more information about Scotty Soltronic himself and to check out photos of his work, visit him online at scottysoltronic.com. That is scottysoltronic.com. Hung Ups are a three-piece punk band from Salt Lake City, and like so many punk bands, they've had their ups and downs in terms of keeping a lineup together. They released an EP early on, split up, got back together, made an album, split up, but they got back together in October 2012 with a new bassist and drummer, and they started playing their first shows back with Unwritten Law when they came to town. They're releasing a brand new EP, appropriately titled Six Songs. Here's a little taste of that one. This is a song called Live Your Life. The Hung Ups EP, Six Songs, is available as a pay-whatever-you-like download at thehungups.bandcamp.com. For more information about the band, visit them online on facebook.com/thehungups. We are here with one of our regular visitors, Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp. And, you know, this time of year, it's a big, oh, I'm going to get my life together. Everything's going to come together for me now. And it's going to start with me working out and eating better. And that is something that's possible to do out and about, correct?
Yeah. I think we all want to drop some libbies, especially after the last, couple of weeks of all the holiday eating.
Gorge fest.
Just fatty food after fatty food. And I don't have any shame about it. I mean, that's what the holidays are all about.
Absolutely.
Pies and...
Why deny yourself at Christmas of all times a year, for Pete's sake?
Yeah.
Deny yourself in the dead of winter in the beginning of January when everybody's going to the gym and whatnot.
Yeah, give yourself the gift of gluttony. But come New Year's, it's a good time to make that resolution, I guess. So we're going to do our best to maybe talk about some ideas.
Yeah, and the Yelp readers and users out there have chimed in on some suggestions of places to get some tasty and healthy, and you get to go out and have a good time. You're out on the town, but you're not destroying your diet, right?
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of places to go and do that, but, you know, I think you can go out and you can eat healthy food. You make healthy choices at the restaurants, but today we're going to talk about some places that have, an abundance of healthy food. So,
it's not one thing on the menu. Yeah, it's not the one salad over here.
The dark corner of the menu where you avert your eyes.
Yeah, these are the places that specialize in the super tasty, right?
You got it. So I guess we'll just dive in.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm going to start with my favorite one that I have on the list today, and that is Zest Kitchen and Bar. So the story behind Zest, if you're trying to place it in your mind, 275 South, 200 West, if you're still trying to place it, it's across the street from Red Rock in downtown, where Acme Burger was, and that Hapa Taqueria was there.
Okay.
And it was the gentleman who had W Lounge actually opened this place up, and it's kind of a different concept than anything we really have here in Salt Lake City. So it's organic, local, vegetarian fare. And I know those are three words that might, like, really scare some people or turn them off, but right. I've been there a few times, and this is some legit stuff. They really have it going on in the kitchen. So anything from cucumber and cashew cheese plate, they have an eggplant parm, stuffed avocado salad with spicy walnuts and cashew sour cream.
Ooh.
And these guys have been getting a lot of love for their cocktails. Now, I mean, cocktails are not calorie-free, but they have some really creative stuff, right? So they have one called a Nutty X, which is like chocolate or organic vodka. Chocolate vodka, like amaretto, almond milk, kind of. They do a lot of fruit juices with their drinks.
Okay.
And it's open just for dinner. And then I think they're open from 4 to 10 or 4 to 11 for dinner. And then the bar is open till 1.
Oh, okay. So it's like it's a night spot. You go out and kick it and have some drinks. Yeah. But with some, and it's relatively new, right? A couple months, right? Yeah. Excellent. Ooh, that sounds great. I haven't been there yet. I'll definitely get that on the list.
Yeah, been a couple times. It's pretty great, you know, atmosphere. Sometimes they bring in a DJ. So anyway, it's worth checking out.
Nice.
We just don't have, and again, you think about going out at night and you go into a bar, right? You always think about like...
Yeah, fried mozzarella sticks and wings dangerous food for the healthy conscious. Yeah,
there's a time and a place for that.
Absolutely.
Mean, don't get me wrong.
And it's in the morning for breakfast.
<That's it.
laughs> What else do we have
moving
out there?
Moving on. We're going to talk about Organic Manic, which I may have mentioned here once before. I'm not sure. It's over at, attached to Cali's at 2030 South 9th East. And it's a buffet, mostly raw food.
Okay.
Jeffrey K says, Jeffrey with a G, as an aside, I've always been jealous of the Jeffreys with a G. Jeffrey K says, perfect for anyone who wants to live healthy. They have nutritional consultations, private lessons, and raw food preparation. So go out and grab some food. Great. If you want to learn how to do it yourself at home, also there. So
yeah, they actually teach you how to keep it going through the month and not just hit the buffet every day necessarily there. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's kind of cool.
That's a great option.
The next one I want to talk about, I've not been there. This is why I love Yelp, right? I was looking through information, trying to find some really great healthy places, and there's this place pops up called Bud's, 509 East, 300 South, 5 out of 5 stars after 6 reviews. So pretty new. This is, according to Francesco, I like to say Francesco, it's probably Francesco. Francesco P., another great plant-based kitchen has entered our fair city with classic American sandwiches and great Mexican dishes.
Oh.
Right.
All right.
A little bit of, yeah. So he recommends, he says, try the taco salad. It's a bonanza of goodness.
Whoa. That's, now, given the name Bud's, are we sure this is a restaurant? Just got to ask. I mean, you know, the medicinal marijuana movement is spreading across the country.
Wings,
is
that's wings,
true.
Yeah. No.
I can't believe I haven't heard of this place. I mean, that is right in the kind of downtown zone where I do a lot of my eating out, and that sounds awesome.
I'm going out on a limb, and I'm trusting the Yelpers. I like to, you know, visit these places before we talk about them here, but this was just such a perfect fit for healthy food.
I love any effort to take Mexican food and make it a healthy version, because I love Mexican food and lard it up, meat it up, all that. But if you can make it healthy, I'm down. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people around here.
For sure. And, you know, again, it's, you know, just because it's vegetarian food doesn't necessarily mean that it's healthy, but they're definitely doing another great plant-based kitchen. So
like it.
Give that one a go. 509 East, 300 South. Next, Cafe Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
In Trolley Square, 552 South, 600 East is the address. I think their official address. But it's just Trolley. 4 out of 5 stars, 16 reviews. They have some interesting, you know, if you're trying to get your vitamins, get your nutrients, and you're trying to wean yourself off of, like, your giant vat of Diet Coke. That's honestly...
The bucket of Coke,
yeah. Because several years ago, believe it or not, I did effort to lose some weight. And I did the math, and I was drinking like 3,000 calories a day.
Yeah. But it's fat-free calories, right?
Yeah. Well, you're in a restaurant, you're like, bring me another Coke, you know, and you end up like...
When you're working in this realm that you work in, you must be have a lot of free refills coming your way, whether you ask for it or not.
Like, I switched to water, and I haven't looked back. But if nice. You want something a little more tasty, they have a green sparkle juice. They have some cacao drinks, peachy keen, and strawberry shakes and smoothies.
Ooh.
And, of course, the meatless meals. He says, this is Nathaniel S., I love the feeling of being satisfied after eating without heavy. So if we can do that in the new year, for crying out loud, let's do it. Let's not feel heavy, figuratively, nor.
That's right. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
One more, and I'm super excited to see this on the list of people's favorites here, your next place.
Yeah. Yes. Blue Nile. Now, Blue Nile is not a vegetarian place. A lot of, I think everything else we talked about was just happened to be vegetarian.
Yeah.
Those top picks for, you know, healthy stuff. Blue Nile is the Ethiopian food, and if you have not had Ethiopian food, now there are at least three places I know about
yeah.
to get it, right? So you have Mahider, you have Blue Nile, and the original African Market restaurant out on
Redwood Road, that's right. There might even be four. I think there's one just south of the Blue Nile on State Street, then there's the one in the Sugar House. But I'm going to confuse the names. But and then that one is still there on Redwood. I know
yeah,
that. So
yeah, yeah.
It's blowing up in this town,
yeah.
let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't, I think maybe if you haven't tried Ethiopian food, open your mind and go try it. I think the basic instruction is you go in and you order. Like, if you've never been there before, maybe try like a vegetarian combo or the meat combo. And then they serve it with stuff called injera or injera.
Yeah.
Pronounced both ways. And I'm probably saying it wrong both ways. But that's kind of like a spongy, I don't know.
It's unbelievably stungy. And I'm going to vouch for this because I hadn't eaten Ethiopian food until about a month ago. And I've been back like three times since because
so
it
good.
Is super tasty. You eat it with your hands and this injera bread or however you pronounce
yeah.
it. I have no idea what they make this stuff out of. It is like a spongy consistency, very pliable and stretchy, and you just kind of grab into the vegetables or the meat or whatever with these things. It's awesome. It's a great social experience when you're eating that stuff. And yeah, the veggie combo there, on a Saturday, they give it to you for like $6. Like, it's a deal. It's the lunch special. And there's like five different veggies on there. You're talking like pureed stuff and carrots and beans, just lots of really good stuff. Lentils, lots of different lentil dishes. And
yeah.
I can't wait to go try the other Ethiopian places around town, but I can definitely vouch for Blue Nile. Tasty
yes.
stuff.
Yeah. Blue Nile, 755 South State, 4 out of 5 stars, 26 reviews. I'll vouch for the other ones as well.
Nice.
You know, they're all a little bit different, you know, different ambiance, and you know, the owners are pretty involved at each of them, so there's a good chance you'll meet them, they'll come and talk to you.
Yeah.
But Ethiopian food, yeah, it's a, you know, it's a pretty healthy stuff and fun to eat. As Elizabeth R. says, different from your usual meat and potatoes fare.
You're
eating with your hands.
That's right. You're eating with your hands. And the meat dishes are. There's like some different spices and things involved, and they're heavy into the lamb and beef, and there's chicken. I mean, you have all your options covered, but
yeah.
super vegetarian friendly as well. Well, that's an awesome bunch of suggestions.
Yeah, and you know, there are a lot of places. I mean, we kind of made fun at the beginning of this that there's a lot of places, you know, with like a little dark part of the menu. But I feel like more and more people are aware, especially in the new year.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you can go out, and one of the features that we just launched on Yelp is you can actually go and explore the menu. So you go to the menu,
oh, nice.
Explore the menu, and if people have taken a picture of the menu item, you can look at it, so you can say, well, that just looks like a big bowl of gravy. Probably stay away from that one if you're trying to drop some pounds.
Yeah.
You know, it links to specific reviews about those items and the photos and stuff. So if you want to sit at home and cruise so you know what
yeah.
you're getting into, so
oh,
you
that's great.
Down and, like, you know, kind of get forced into a big basket of onion rings.
Yeah, yeah, right. You can actually see what your
yeah.
favorite place has to offer, as well as these kind of more specialized. Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. Appreciate the time. And I know you'll be back soon talking about, oh, Lord knows what we'll get into next.
Delicious. Something I'm probably like fried food will be next. We'll be like, oh, screw your resolutions. We're done with it.
We're going to go for the best onion rings in town this time. That's not a bad thing either. Well, everybody, you should obviously follow at Yelp Utah on Twitter and go to yelp.com/salt-lake-city. And you can find all of this great info about our local places. Thanks a lot, Jeffrey.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. This week's weekly daily calendar is a little on the lighter side, thanks to this being the first week of the year, but there are some fine local music offerings and a few other goodies in here. As always, go to slugmag.com, check out the calendar online. There's always new stuff going in there every day. If you want to put your own listings on there, that is free, and you can do it right there online. You can also spend a little $5 a month, $50 a year, and add some more content to your listings to make them really pop out there on the calendar. On Wednesday, January 2nd, after we've all recovered from New Year's Eve through New Year's Day, the Nappy Roots, a fine little southern hip-hop group that was huge about 10 years ago, but they've kept on going ever since, they're headlining at Park City Live, while down here in Salt Lake City, Salt Lake anthemic rockers Hearts and Hands is playing at the Shred Shed on Wednesday, January 2nd. Thursday, January 3rd, Kesh Levy starts a three-night stand at the Wise Guys at Trolley Square. He's a pretty funny cat. He's been on The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson a few times, ABC's Comics Unleashed, also on Comedy Central's Premium Blend. Wise Guys is always a good option. I love when they do the shows at Trolley Square. Save a little drive for me out to the West Valley, although they have a lot of great shows at the West Valley Wise Guys, too. And Ogden once in a while as well. Also Thursday, January 3rd, Joe McQueen, the jazz legend, over 90 years old, headlining at the Garage. He can hang out at bars later than any of us. Friday, January 4th, is a primo night for great local music. The Weekenders and Holy Water Buffalo bring in a little rock and roll to the Shred Shed here in Salt Lake City. Bullets and Bells are having a CD release party at the State Room with Triggers and Slips. And down at Velour in Provo, you have Book on Tapeworm, headlining the Velour Slumber Party concert series, which is also going on Saturday, January 5th. Another good option for that Saturday is the Jazz SLC series at Capitol Theater in Salt Lake City. The Bill Charlap Trio is playing. He is a magnificent piano player. Guy's got serious chops. If you're into jazz, if you're just into piano, if you're just into guys who are great musicians at the top of their game, that's a great option on a Saturday night. And up in Park City, Sarah Watkins, who some people might remember from the band Nickel Creek. They were sort of a somewhat kiddie bluegrass band. Her and Chris Teeley and her brother Sean Watkins all did that band together. They played at the Zephyr a lot of times. They blew up, got a little bigger, and then, of course, broke up. Now she's doing her own solo stuff. Last year, she spent a significant part of the year on tour with the Decemberists because she is one mean fiddle player and a great singer. Now she's touring on support of her own records, and she'll be playing at the Eccles Center for the Performing Arts in Park City on Saturday night, January 5th. Once again, go to slugmag.com for updated listings every day of the week. Be safe out there. Bullets and Bells is a local group. They call themselves Little Doo-Wop Folk, and they've been working on putting together a debut album for quite a little while now. They put out an EP this spring called Curried Rice, pretty funny, and they have a new record being released full-length called Be Glad that'll be coming out this Friday, January 4th. The band consists of Ryan Cron on guitar, Mike Green on drums, Aaron Haley on the keyboards, and Noel Sandberg on bass. This is a song called Pelleamus Away off the full-length debut from Bullets and Bells called Be Glad.
Try to pronounce las palabras. My life is moving so fast, so fast. When I stepped off of the airplane, I don't know who I was kidding. todo tiempo. Y estoy segura y contento.
Bullets and Bells will be releasing this debut album this Friday, January 4th, at the Stateroom, and they'll be playing along with Triggers and Slips. The show starts at 9 p.m., and tickets are a mere $10. For more information on Bullets and Bells, visit them online at bulletsandbells.com. Party Sober is a brand new clothing line based in Salt Lake City that produces shirts, hats, and other accessories based around a message of sobriety and clean living, a little bit of a straight edge bent, focusing on the ideal of not needing drugs or any alcohol to have a good time. Slug writer Justin Gallegos sat down in the Soundwave studio with founder Dominic Suazo to talk about the clothing line and the message behind it.
What's your company actually about?
I guess as a whole, what we're trying to be is something more revolutionary as a movement as opposed to just a clothing line. I mean, anybody can be just printing ideas and quotes and pictures and graphics on shirts. What we're trying to do is kind of like change up that message, like that through your clothing, that's the medium that you wear and represent to the world. And what we want to do is eventually make that just the foundation financially for us to give back. So when I say movement, it's like the clothing is the message and the medium, but once we start becoming more appealing, we want to be able to like give that money back to different communities and treatment centers and basically the stuff that was never really like available for me financially as an addict. That's basically overall what I would like us to do. How we're going to get there is just making the message cool, making our popularity grow. Because in the media today, you know, you see it everywhere. Like, things that are glamorized are not necessarily the best messages. And the perception is that it's glamorous to be a rock and roll, you know, kind of drugs and partying and sex and all that. And you see that consistently. So what we're trying to do is kind of change it up and say, you know, I bought into that and I got wrapped into that negative lifestyle, and the reason why is because everybody else was doing it and they were doing it because it was cool. So what we're trying to do is mix it up and say sobriety's cool. You know, if you want to be a rock star, to become a rock star, you have to be clean. You have to be in a clear conscious like mindset in order to be that musician that is inspiring, that is talented, that is everything that a rock star should be, but it also should be a good influence, a role model. And so ultimately, that's what we're about, is, you know, not just clothing. It's more of a message, and it's just through clothing, because that, I think, appeals to youth and our generation right now. So
what would be your, like, target market? What's the age of the people you want to reach, or is your message universal?
Well, overall, I mean, the idea is universal, because anybody can struggle with, there, you know, drugs know no boundaries. There's no limit to any addiction. And so it is universal. And even if you haven't suffered or struggled with the addiction yourself, you probably know somebody who has, or you have family members who have. And it kind of, I mean, it affects everybody. And so our key demographic is youth, because they're the ones who are most susceptible to it. I know I was. I mean, just speaking personally, from a young age, you know, you start to build your beliefs on what you see around you and your influence, your environment. And what youth see nowadays is something that I don't think, you know, is conductive to being a productive member of society. And so that was kind of who we target as far as our message, because clothing is so appealing to youth and so appealing to people who want to represent something in a bold statement, but also in a cool statement. And me as an artist, that's kind of like where I got my influence from, was just saying, yeah, let's make a good message, but let's make it cool so that somebody will, you know, want to wear that. And so we do want to target the younger audience, but it is appealing to everybody. I mean, you look at our economy now and our government, I mean, just our country as a whole, how it's going now, I think we need big changes and pushes from positive directions. And obviously the future is going to grow with our youth. So we kind of want to like push for a better direction. You know, I don't want my kids to grow up one day in a world that was the world that I grew up in. For good, yes, but for bad, no. I want them to be in a positive environment.
Party sober, it's clear, it makes sense, and maybe you could tell me a little bit about where just that simple catchphrase came from, but also what it means. I mean, sober, we get that, but what do you mean by party? What does that entail? Sure.
I get really hung up a lot of the time talking about like the negative aspect of it. It's, you know, because addiction is such a deadly, deadly thing, and it's such a killer amongst families and individuals and societies and communities that... you know, it's really kind of a dreadful thing to talk about sometimes, especially like even if I go into my own personal experiences. But the idea that my business partner and I came up with, the catchphrase party sober, came about because he actually promotes his sobriety because he went through the same negative things that I did with drugs. But what got him out of it was his music. So as he tours with his band, that's something he always used to just kind of tell people, like, party sober, have fun, but make good decisions. And it was really, like, as cheesy as that was, when we came together and made the idea of starting this clothing line, we said that catchphrase can become something more, because the idea of, obviously, the sobriety is there, but to party sober means let's get off that negative aspect of it where it's so dreadful, because we want to give hope back to people. And so in order to give hope, it has to be fun. It has to be more enlightening that this is just, you're stuck and there's no way out of it. I've found a way out of it with my art. He's found a way out of it with his music. So what we would like to inspire is a way out of it through party sober. Go out, have fun, and have a good time, but just make sure that, you know, you're making good decisions that ultimately are going to affect your life for the better and other people's lives for the better down the road, as opposed to making negative like choices that have consequences that I don't think need to be there personally, because I've been through them. So
kind of trying to combat the message that youth receives today, because it is clear that, you know, the glamorized, you know, party lifestyle is out there to them. But there's programs out there like DARE and things like that. What challenges do you see presenting sobriety, but not in an anti-authority way?
Yeah.
Like, what makes it seem, what's cool, and what makes it cool?
Well, number one, the thing that we have over DARE and Above the Influence and people like that is that we're the peers. Like, we are the people who, we've gone through it, we've struggled with it, but I'm still young. You know, I'm still an aspiring artist. I still try to take every day, like, one step at a time. And for me, that's my artwork, that's this clothing line. And so I try to inspire, but when somebody looks at me, they don't see an officer telling them drugs are bad, because that is what I was told, but I still did them anyway. If one of my friends that I had seen or known my whole life had said to me, hey, I've been there and I've spent that time in that jail cell, I've spent my time away from my family, I've suffered those consequences where I've paid fines and done all this stuff, I might have listened a lot more, because you know firsthand through your friends and their experiences what the message is, as opposed to somebody just saying, I'm above you and listen to me. I think it instantly makes kids want to rebel, especially nowadays. And so I think that's the dynamic that we have over certain organizations, is the fact that we are young, we are the peers, I've been through it, I've lived it, and now I'm still living it, and I'm still young, and I'm kind of on that opposite side of the fence now, where I can say, I've been there, and I know how to help, like, get through that, and now I'm on this other side, so I just hope to inspire and be a role model. I'm not saying, you know, I'm perfect. I have my struggles daily, but I take a more productive outlet than drug abuse. I take my, you know, my outlet is my artwork, and I'm just very committed to that. As a role model, sending out a message, you don't just tell somebody stay out of trouble. I think it's more productive to give them something to do. So, I mean, to go back on something too, is just like, I think once we get to that point where we're, you know, getting in the cash flow and we're getting it back out into the community, I would like to see other people who are still suffering be a part of our organization and give them something to do. Be a part of Party Sober, more than just buying a shirt. Be a part of our organization and come out to our events and help the community and things like that. I think that's a little bit down the road, but that's where I'd like to see us go.
I know we mentioned a little bit about the Mormon culture thing, but is there any religious tie at all to the movement, or do you, like, is there kind of a feeling to keep the idea of God or that kind of thing can make the message not as cool, or that can turn some people away? Yeah. Is there any difference there?
I would like to kind of stay away from the religious aspect of it, just because I think that what we're trying to do ultimately isn't influence anybody like a religion. We just want to be people that you look up to. Not necessarily people that you look up to and we tell you what to do. I mean, I've had my own experience growing up, my religious experience, and that was never, I mean, it was a big part of my life, but ultimately, right now, that's not what dictates my life. So we're not trying to dictate anybody's decisions. We're not trying to exclude anybody. So to be all inclusive, I think we want to keep that as, like, to each their own. So if they want to be a part, if that's what they want to do, that's great, but that's not what our affiliation is. I don't want us to be like a church, you know? I don't want us to be somewhere where people, I mean, I want people to come to us for some sort of healing or some sort of like enlightenment, I guess you could say, but not in the sense that we're holier than thou. You know, we're not better than you. We're not, you know, any type of thing like that. Like, I can just tell you, you know, I've had my struggles. And I would say we're more counselors as peer counselors than we are authoritarians.
To buy apparel and get more information on the company, visit them online at partysoberclothing.com. As always, thank you for listening to the Soundways from the Underground podcast. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Right now, we are looking at the film festival season dead in the face. It's quickly approaching, and we'd like to hear what you're most looking forward to from the Sundance, Slam Dance, or any other film festival that's coming up in January. Please send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Give us something good to look forward to in one of these film festivals, and we just might play your suggestion on the air. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. Associate producers are Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and Dan Nalen. That's me. Executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. The main logo and art design by T. Doan, and technical design is by Kate Colgan. Next week, it is the Big Fat Film Festival preview episode. Slam Dance, Sundance, the LDS Film Festival. You'll get a little bit of it all right here on the Soundways from the Underground podcast. Thanks for listening.